Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hello, Larry Mueller here. Glad to have you along today as we begin our program by taking a look at what we can do outside in the winter. And one of the great things that we can do is to snowshoe. Great exercise, lots of fun. We can do it in many, pretty much throughout Wisconsin. Darren Bush of Rutabaga of Madison, the world's largest paddle sports shop, is a guy that knows a lot about snowshoeing and probably a little about cross-country skiing as well, and certainly can talk with you about where to go, what equipment to buy, what you need. And I'm hoping you'll call in with your questions, or maybe you have some suggestions about places where you like to go, you like to snowshoe. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at talk@wpr.org. And we'd love to hear from you. Darren, welcome back.
Thanks.
So we can go pretty much anywhere here in Wisconsin, can't we?
Pretty much, yeah. It's interesting. I always call snowshoes kind of four-wheel drive for your feet. So They just give you the ability to go places where once the snow falls, hiking isn't really an option anymore.
Yeah, and it really does. They really do make a big difference.
Yeah, the modern shoes especially, they're not the best for flotation in terms of deep, puffy snow. But in terms of traction, they're very, very good. They've got metal cleats, kind of like crampons on the bottom. So like even now when there's only like 5 or 6 inches on the ground, walking or running on sidewalks can be a little bit treacherous with the freeze thaw. You get some black ice flowing over it. But if you go over to the golf course or the park and, walk or run on snowshoes, you've got a good grip underneath your feet.
Yeah, and it really is a lot of fun. And, we got snowshoes several years back. And our daughter, I think we put her on snowshoes when she was 4 for the first time.
Yeah, that's about right, sure.
And this year, we're going to have to get her new new snowshoes.
Well, I know a guy.
Yeah, we'll be stopping by to see you a little later on. She's 7 now, so.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we didn't do much last year. The snow wasn't as nice as it was the year before. There was lots of snow the year before.
Yeah, that was a good year.
So where are some favorite places for you to go?
I really like the state and county parks. Mm-hmm. I think that Wisconsin is an amazing place for that. I grew up in the desert in California where there really weren't any significant county parks that were anything like the ones we have here. So, Blue Mountain State Park is great. They've got some nice trails. Governor Dodge is one that I go to quite a bit. And then just, anywhere. The Arboretum's a mile from my house, so I can go over there in the morning on the way to work and walk around for half an hour and then pop in.
And, it's a good use of that. Most of us buy our state park permits with summer in mind, but what a great opportunity to visit those state parks. Well, frankly, there are many, many, many fewer people.
Right. Blue Mountains gets a lot of traffic because of its grooming for cross-country skiing and the phenomenal trails there for that. But there's a small snowshoeing area. But Governor Dodge, you go to Governor Dodge in the summer and you can hardly find a parking space. You go there in the winter and there's 5 cars in the parking lot. And, I've been out on the ski trails and the snowshoe trails and not seen another person.
Yeah, absolutely. John in Minneapolis, Minnesota has a question for you. Hi, John. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I don't really have a question. I'm driving from Minneapolis up to Shingleton, Michigan today to visit the Iverson Snowshoe Factory. And so when I heard you guys are going to talk about snowshoes, I figured I'd just call up to let you know that they're still being made, traditional snowshoes up there, and that I was heading that way even as you speak.
Are you on your way to purchase, or?
It's Shingleton, Wisconsin, or I'm sorry, Shingleton, Michigan, the Iverson Snowshoe Factory. They've been making traditional handmade snowshoes for a generation or two.
Yeah, and you're familiar, Darren. You had a smile when.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I love that stuff. I love family companies, being one myself. I love when things are made locally.
Racing on those snowshoes since about 1982, and they are just one of the finest snowshoes to run on. So
yeah, they're very, very nicely made. Yeah.
Well, good luck with the trip, John. Thanks for calling.
Thank you so much, and your topic is a timely one. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot for your call. Now, what would single out those types of snowshoes from the ones you were talking about earlier?
Okay. So traditional shoes are what people think of when they think of snowshoes. They think of, you know, things hanging over the fireplace, you know, rawhide stretched over wood. And the reason they're made that way, and they're still made that way, is they work really well. It's not sometimes modern isn't better. I mean, the canoe paddles I use are 100-year-old design sometimes, and the reason they endure is that they work. So for, like I said, less consolidated snow conditions where it's, you know, kind of fluffy and you're in gently rolling terrain, I guess I would say, they work really great. One kind of snowshoe that I build quite a lot of them are the Cree or Ojibwe snowshoes that have kind of a point in the front, kind of like the bow of a ship.
Mm-hmm.
They're really nice for walking in prairies because they kind of push the grass to the side as you walk through them if there's any grass sticking up. You don't trample the vegetation down as much. I think they're wonderful. And also, very few people hang modern snowshoes on their walls. They have a different aesthetic.
Yes, they certainly do. Jim in Milwaukee, we turn to you now. Hi, Jim.
Hi. How are you guys doing today?
Great. Thanks for calling.
Good. My question is this. I bought my first pair of snowshoes 2 years ago from a sporting goods shop. They're a fairly decent pair, I'm thinking. But my problem is this. The first time and ever since, when I walk, when I'm done, I feel like my hips got more of a workout than my legs do. Is there a trick or is there a special way or is that just the nature of the beast that those muscles are going to get worked, you know, rather than, you know, just from wearing regular shoes?
Boy, that's a really good question. The answer is it's not really part of the activity. What it comes from is walking with your feet too far apart.
Okay.
And if the snowshoes are too wide, you're not going to get a good stride. Now, they do make wide snowshoes that are designed basically for, you know, for working in and around enclosed areas or crowded areas. Mm-hmm. For example, a trapper would want a really wide, short snowshoe because they got to move around. They don't want a big, long one with a tail. But walking long distances in those things can be tough. Now, you should be able to have a fairly normal gait with most snowshoes. You know, they might bump into each other, but they're meant to nest a little bit. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so when I go out this year, then just try to take more of a normal step because they do have a hinge on, you know, like a pivot point on them. So when you're picking up, you're not like picking up, and that was supposed to be the idea that you're not working as hard when you're using these. But it just seems like I get so far out when the hips start to get tired. It's like I better turn around now because otherwise I have to take them off to get back. So
these are traditional shoes or modern shoes?
They're modern shoes.
Okay. Yeah, you shouldn't have any problem. The tails can drag. There's nothing wrong with just walking. You know, just try and just walk, and you might get a little snow flipping up and back, but that's okay.
Okay. Well, I'll try that this year and try to keep a normal gait and not keep the feet so far apart.
Yeah, good luck, Jim.
All right, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. And on to Bob in Eau Claire. Bob, hi.
Good morning. How are you?
Great. Thanks for calling.
Great. I'm calling you from Worcester, Massachusetts, and I've been listening online, and the question I have is my wife and I have got two sets of traditional trapper-type snowshoes, and we have tried a number of different bindings that give us varying levels of success. And I'm curious if there are modern bindings that would fit on these traditional shoes that would be fairly easy to get in and out of, but are fairly secure once you strap yourself in.
Well, I'd say this, that's kind of a false dichotomy in terms of either or. There are traditional shoes or traditional bindings that will work very well and hold your foot in place. Unfortunately, there's a lot of them out there that are just kind of, as an afterthought, kind of thrown on there. And the bindings that I use are a work binding from a company called Faber. And pretty much all of my shoes have them on there now. It's a full grain leather that wraps around and laces up on top with a heel strap. And my shoes pretty much don't come off. Once I'm in there, they stay. There are some other kinds of bindings. There's one called the Super A that kind of wraps around. It's made out of neoprene. It's a little bit slipperier. There's the old inner tube ones where you slide your foot in and it kind of just holds it in place with the rubber. Those are good for on and off real quick, but if you're walking any distance, you don't get a good solid purchase on the shoe. So, go ahead.
Do you have those? Do you illustrate those on your website?
Yep. Yeah, they're on there.
And your website again is?
It's rutabaga.com.
Okay. And Saber is S-A-B-E-R?
Oh, no, it's Faber. I'm sorry. F-A-B-E-R.
F as in Faber. Frank.
F as in Frank.
Frank. Okay.
Yep.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. And Darren Bush, our guest of Rutabaga of Madison, as we talk with him about snowshoeing, zeroing in a bit here now. Holly and Eau Claire, we're on to you next. Hi, Holly.
Hello.
What's on your mind?
I just wanted to let you know that I'm making my own snowshoes this year. And our local nature reserve does a thing. If you register by the 17th, you can make your own snowshoes, too.
Perfect. In the Eau Claire area?
Yep, at Beaver Creek Reserve. People can go online and register.
Beaver Creek Reserve.
Yes.
Ah, comment.
That's really cool. I got into this, let's see, how old's my daughter? 22. So 23 years ago, we went to Mosquito Hill Nature Center up in New London, and my wife was quite pregnant, and we decided we wanted to build snowshoes just because we wanted to do something, you know, outdoorsy for the weekend together. Mm-hmm. And it was a riot. Greg was the naturalist there. I think he might still be there. But it was just a lot of fun. I do teach, or I have taught in the past, snowshoe classes up at the McKenzie Center. And I can tell you that the snowshoe's fun, and it's fun to have it, but the process is what really is cool. You really get to bond with the people you're working with. And I worked with a gentleman. This is a quick digression, but it's a good one. He was up there. There were about 10 of us, and we're working on these shoes. And he was just struggling with the lacing pattern because it takes some time to figure it out. And there were a lot of mistakes, and he wouldn't go back and fix them. And I said, "Well, I can fix it." He said, "No, leave it like it is." And later on, I was talking to his wife, and he had suffered a traumatic brain injury about a year before, and this was kind of the first hands-on project that he was working on. And I had no idea. So those mistakes that he made were, you know, kind of part of the whole process. And once I figured that out, it was great.
And you're in it, and you're doing it right now? It's coming up.
It's coming up. Yeah, you can register by the 17th, and I believe it starts January 8th, so it's a weekend.
You're going to have a lot of fun.
Yes.
You know what kind of shoes you're building?
I'm sorry?
You know what kind of shoes you're going to build?
The Ojibwa.
Are those from Countryways or over in Minneapolis?
I'm sorry?
There's a company called Countryways over in Minneapolis that does those kits. It's probably one of those. They're wonderful kits. Really fun.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yep.
Perfect. And again, the place is?
Beaver Creek Reserve.
Beaver Creek Reserve. Okay. Thanks, Holly.
All right. Thank you.
Appreciate it. And Brian in La Crosse, we are on to you.
Thank you for taking my call, gentlemen.
Sure.
I weigh 300 pounds, and I'm just wondering if there's a special shoe that would work for me. Anything that you can recommend?
Okay.
Sure. Are you mostly up and down in the hills or in the woods, or are you out on the flats?
A bit of both. Okay. Some walking along the river, some walking up in the coulees and the bluffs.
Okay. Well, there's a traditional shoe would be a traditional Alaskan shoe, which is 10 inches by 60 inches. It has the most flotation of pretty much any traditional shoe. And, if a 225-pound person with a 50-pound pack can use that, you should have no problem with that.
Okay.
They are a straight-line shoe. They're not really for, you know, crawling in and out of trees in the woods and stuff like that. As far as a modern shoe, there's a couple choices. Modern shoes tend to work a little bit less with guys your size just because you don't get the flotation. But if it's, you know, along a river, if there's, you know, consolidated snow and icy shelves and things like that, you really do want, you know, a modern shoe with a crampon on the bottom.
Sure.
Atlas makes a shoe, I think it's the 1036 or the 1236. It's a big shoe. And then the other company we work with is Crescent Moon, and they also make a really large shoe. So I'd look at our website, and then I'd look at Crescent Moon and look at Atlas and see what they recommend for your size. And then if you want to give me a call, I'll help you out.
Awesome. Thanks for your help.
Sure. Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. Darren Bush of Rutabaga of Madison, our guest today. We're talking snowshoeing with him. Give us a call with your questions at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at talk@WPR.org. Jim Packard, our producer here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Darren Bush of Rutabaga of Madison, our guest today as we talk snowshoeing through Wisconsin with him. Their website, rutabaga.com. And Jim in Menominee up next. Hi, Jim. Thanks for calling.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hi.
Question, is there a shoe that I could use to play disc golf in the wintertime?
That is so cool. Sure. Pretty much any of them. I'd go with a modern shoe just because they're, you know, a little bit, you're probably going to have some snow that's packed down, you know, because it's on a course. But also because if you're moving sideways, side to side, a modern shoe will allow you to do that a little bit easier than a traditional shoe. But mm-hmm. Yeah, just depending on your weight and you know what you want. But yeah, that's just make sure you use those fluorescent orange discs instead of the white ones, right?
Yeah, and a little streamer always helps. So
a streamer,
oh.
Cool.
Put a streamer to the top, and then when the disc goes under the snow, the streamer stays up.
I'm learning a lot. This is awesome.
So, do you have a favorite, or in terms of the modern shoe, or a lot of actually, there are quite a few good ones out there.
The first company to do a sort of a modern shoe was actually the U.S. Army. They made a titanium frame strung with stainless steel coated in plastic shoe back in you know 10th Mountain Division used them with a modern binding on them. But, Vermont Tubbs, which is the traditional shoe company, right. It's another one. It's the Iverson of the Northeast, right?
Mm-hmm.
They started making some. They had some technical flaws to them. They didn't realize that the vinyl they used for the decking was actually the same vinyl they used for a sled. So the crampon didn't work. You were going for a ride. But there's a bunch of really good companies. The two that I work with most, there's three. The first is Crescent Moon, and the reason I like them is they're in Boulder, Colorado, made in the States. They are 100% wind power, and they recycle 95% of the stuff that goes in their manufacturing process. They're a little bit more expensive because they're not made overseas, so mm-hmm. They're good stuff. Atlas is a really good company as well. They employ people with developmental disabilities, mm-hmm. Which I think is great. And really super high quality as well. And then Red Feather's another one, and they're up. They're made up in La Crosse. And that's a company that also has employed people with developmental disabilities because the building of the snowshoe isn't complex if you break it down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a pretty simple manufacturing process. And it's really cool to see an assembly line of people who otherwise probably wouldn't be employed building these things. So the snowshoe... the industry is really environmentally friendly and really socially conscious. It's kind of interesting. I never really thought about it, but everybody who makes those is they're pretty cool people.
Yeah, absolutely. Claire, thank you. Appreciate the call. Linda in Shiocton. Let's go to you now. Hi, Linda.
Hi. Hey, I'm glad to be able to hear the program today of snowshoeing. I had actually made my own snowshoes about 6 years ago, and the snowshoes have a long tail on them. And at the time, you know, they presented like three different types of snowshoes you could make, and I went with that. I'm not sure why. The question I have is, there was a lot of coats of urethane that I had to put on the snowshoes. Is that something that I would have to do as maintenance for the snowshoes, or is there some other kind of maintenance that I should be doing that I'm probably not? I'll tell you, it's a great exercise. You just can't beat it. And to make my own pair was quite an accomplishment for me.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, cool.
Comments off the air.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Well, I'd say this. If you're wearing through the varnish in the areas, especially right under the foot and the footbed there, you definitely want to varnish them. They should go a couple, 3 years. If you get to a road someplace, take your shoes off, walk across the road, put them back on. A lot of people really beat their shoes up by just running across the road. I use a really, really good spar varnish. You can buy Minwax and inexpensive stuff from the hardware store or Home Depot or whatever. I buy mine from West Marine, and it's about 3 times more expensive and about 10 times better. And if you get a gallon of it, it's $50 or $60, but it'll last you forever. A quart's, you know, $15, $20 instead of $7.95. But it's wonderful stuff. It's more flexible. It's designed to be a little bit more flexible because it's used in marine environments. And so that's what I use. It also has a nice orangey color to it, so it shows that patina that you want.
Susan in Coon Valley, it's your turn. Hi, Susan.
Good morning. Just a comment. I used to use the traditional snowshoe, and now I'm using the lighter aluminum snowshoe. I'm on my second pair of tubs. My question is, are there interchangeable bindings that I can get to put on these tubs? I have the old nylon strap, and it takes forever to get them on. So that's one part of the question, if they're interchangeable. And secondly, is there a difference between men and women's snowshoes, or are they sold strictly by your weight differences?
Wow, both very good questions. The first question is, I've never seen a modern shoe that has an interchangeable binding. You can replace bindings with, you know, parts from the original manufacturer, but as far as taking one off one type and putting on another, they're pretty specific. And the reason for that is they're the ways that they suspend or put the binding on the shoe really vary manufacturer to manufacturer. The second question is a really good one too. Yes, there are shoes that are made for women that are a little different. What it has to do with is just the gait. Women have a different gait than men do due to the shape of their hips, and so they maximize how that works. They're usually a little bit narrower to accomplish that, and the binding may be offset a little bit. But it does make a difference, though. The women that I know who have, you know, it's not just a small shoe. It's different.
All right, there we go. Claire in Richland Center, we're on to you now. Hi, Claire.
Hello. Good morning to both of you.
Yes.
This is a great show. In fact, just yesterday I had called the Atlas Company in Seattle to find out what I should do with my wooden ash snowshoes. And it was a little bit hilarious in that the representative I talked to had absolutely no clue. So I'm glad your guest is there today. Where would I was wondering about the varnish or the polyurethane, which would be best to use, and I just heard him say about that special varnish that he had used. Where might I purchase that?
Any good marina or marine store. Again, West Marine is just down the block from us. And there's a couple. There's Varathane. That's a famous one. Actually, the house brand from West Marine is actually quite good.
Uh huh.
But it is better than polyurethane. It's more
okay.
More
and I'm
flexible,
sitting here with my polyurethane can in my hand, so I'm going to probably go try to find the varnish, and use that. And if I might throw in here around Richland Center, I've been out the last 4 mornings now. It's been granted it'd be nice to have twice this amount of snow, but we have some good snowshoe areas around here. The UW-Richland campus here in Richland Center is an excellent place, some up and down hills that make it good for snowshoeing. There's a county recreation area about 5 miles south of Richland Center that's really good if you like getting just off the beaten path. And a last one I would mention is Wildcat Mountain up in Ontario.
Sure.
I haven't been there yet this year, but I've skied there several times, or many times, I guess, over the last 10 to 12 years. It's a great place to go.
You live in a beautiful part of the world.
Yeah.
We think so.
I love it up there. I really do.
And I do appreciate your advice about the varnish. I'm going to make sure that's what I get a hold of.
Yeah. What kind of bindings do you have on there?
It's those. My wooden ones are tubs.
Sure.
And it's those TD it's called.
Sure, okay.
I like them very well, and I just purchased a new pair within about a month, or well, within a couple of weeks of the Atlas snowshoes. And sure. And I did get, you mentioned that, 1235, and that's got a wonderful binding on it.
Oh, they do. Yeah. No, they're great.
They're very secure, and they're a little bit tricky on these real cold mornings. I find that, I don't know, that plastic material, I don't know about you, but when it's down there towards zero, that plastic material is just a little stiff for tightening.
You're right, and that's true of most modern shoes. The Crescent Moon actually has a really nice plastic they use. It's a little bit different, that is a little more flexible. But in general, when things get cold, they get stiff. Yep.
Yep.
Yes. Well, thanks for your advice.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. And Helen and Madison, your turn. Hi, Helen.
Hi. I just wanted to tell you my 78-year-old husband still has the old-fashioned snowshoes from his childhood in northern Minnesota. He used a lot, and he bought some for me, which I've really enjoyed. And one day, our 7-year-old grandson was visiting from southern the U.S., and he saw his grandpa's snowshoes in the garage, and he wanted to put them on, and we said, no, they'll never fit you. But about 15, 20 minutes later, we saw him out in the backyard with them on, tromping around. So that was really fun. And I appreciate also your tip about this the spar varnish. And what do you use for the, is it the sinew or the part that, do you use that on the whole snowshoe or just the wooden part?
I'm not quite sure I understand the exact question as far as just the wooden part. As far as the varnish goes over everything. You just soak it.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, you know, there's a couple different materials used. Traditionally, they use rawhide or babiche, as they call it in French. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like weaving linguine. It's a wet, messy process, but when it dries, it tightens up real nice, and once you get the varnish on there, it seals it up, so.
Oh, so you can use the varnish on that also.
Sure.
You actually should.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Well, thank you very much.
Yep, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. And looks like you're going to sell a lot of varnish.
I don't sell varnish.
I know.
I'm going to sell a lot of varnish for West Marine, which is just fine.
That's what I meant.
Yeah, they're nice people. I like them.
Bill in Menominee, hello to you.
Hey, hi. I am actually pulling some maintenance on the school district snowshoes right now. And I'm noticing some of them, the decking is breaking off. Some of them, the frames are broken. And I'm trying to figure out what would be what I'll call industrial strength snowshoes that would work for little kids up through high schoolers.
Well, my wife teaches middle school, and they can break anything. usually the simpler, the better.
Okay.
And so you're talking about mostly in flat areas, right?
Correct.
I frankly would look at traditional shoes because you can always repair them. You know, they wood just does better sometimes, especially in cold. And the bindings can be really simple. And, you know, if you use the inner tube type binding, you know, the rubber ones, they can get them on and off pretty easily, depending on, you know, no problems with boot sizes or anything. A lot of the nature centers use traditional shoes for that reason. Is, you know, at the end of the year, you hang them all up, you look where they need to be varnished, and you varnish them, and you're done.
Okay. All righty. That's it. Thank you much.
Thanks much for calling. Sarah in Woodruff, hello to you.
Hello. I have a pair of Tubbs snowshoes, and the bindings I have on them are TD91 control wings. So they're probably about 15 years old, and they're all cracked. How do I replace them, or where can I go to get a replacement binding?
I would, boy.
When I wrote to Tubbs, they said you can no longer get just the binding.
And that's probably true. I don't think they're trying to sell you new pair of shoes.
No, they are not.
No, the way the bindings are integrated in that shoe, it's pretty tough. What part is broken?
The plastic deck.
Oh, shoot. Because the aluminum, you can always find somebody who's got...
Yeah, the aluminum is in good shape.
Yeah, of course. To be honest, I can't really give you a good answer.
Okay.
If I looked at them, I might be able to figure out a way to fix them.
Mm-hmm.
pretty handy dude.
Okay. Perhaps sometime when I'm in Madison, I will bring them by.
Please, bring them down. I'd love to see them.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Sarah. And Peg in Rice Lake. Hello.
Hi there. Somebody just asked about high, heavy-duty snowshoes for kids.
Yeah.
And I think the ones I've got would do that job. They're high-impact plastic, and they're called Little Bear, and they are so good.
Yeah,
I'm all crippled up with Lyme disease right now, so I haven't snowshoed for the last 2 years. But at the age of 73, I was doing fine. And, you know, I have land out here. Love to get outdoors, but I used to be penned up all winter thanks to the snow. I got those snowshoes, and I was up the hill. It was wonderful. I was in great shape. And I once attended a hunters meeting to try to keep the hunters out of the woods at all seasons of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think those guys are really impressed.
Yep.
So what about those shoes?
I actually know the guy who invented them. Interesting guy. And they're very nice shoes. They're not very expensive. The only problem with them is I think they're really good for one person. I think they're good for, you know, I'd call them intermediate use. Okay. I do think that under the stress of
several
of
feet.
Several feet over. I mean, they're going to be used all the time. And the problem is if they crack, they're kind of done.
Yeah.
You know, it's at that point, it's a landfill problem. But if you do have a problem with a traditional shoe, it can always be repaired. But no, they're fine shoes. I just don't think they're industrial enough.
Okay, there you go. Peg, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. And I hope you have a chance to get back out on those snowshoes. Yep. I really do.
Get better.
John in Waterloo, it's on to you now. Hi, John.
Yeah, I was just going to make a comment about bindings. Oh, I've been using snowshoes for about 30 years. And back in the 70s, my uncle up in Phelps, Wisconsin, he showed me a binding that he made out of a piece of heater hose, real soft rubber heater hose, and a screen door spring. I don't know if you've ever heard of this.
Now, that's a new one to me, but I'm intrigued. Go on.
Yeah, I've tried like three different bindings, and I always come back to this one. You put the heater hose, you thread a shoestring through the heater hose, and that goes over the top of your toe, and it ties onto the snowshoe. And then you take this, it's a real stiff screen door spring, and you tie it onto the snowshoe on the side, and that goes around your heel, and that's what holds it in that soft, it's got to be a soft rubber heater hose.
Yeah, do you get to Madison very often?
What?
Do you get to Madison very often?
Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah. Could you drop by the shop with them? I'd love to see them.
You know, what's really nice about it is if you want them off, all you have to do is step your foot onto the back of your other snowshoe, one on top of the other, and kick hard on that heater, on that screen door spring, and they pop right off. And he said, too, if you ever go through the ice with them on, you can pull your foot straight back out and get them off.
That's fascinating.
We got to see that. We got to see that, John.
Okay, I am in the area often. I'll maybe stop in sometime.
Great, thanks.
Yeah, and if you ever take a picture of it, a digital photo, send it to my Facebook page.
Okay.
Cool.
I would love to see it. Send it to the
Facebook. I don't know if you really know exactly what I mean. The soft rubber heater hose is over the top of your toe. And then the screen door spring comes around your heel, and that's what holds it in place. You have to really do a little adjusting on them to get to fit your boot just right. But once you have them adjusted for your boot, it's really nice.
Got to see it, John.
Okay.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate
it. Thanks.
Go to my Facebook page. It's The Larry Mealer Show. And shoot us a picture or two.
I'm a fan.
I'd love to see it. Yeah, that's right. I'd love to see it. Brenda in Door County, let's go to you. Hi, Brenda.
Hello. I have a question about the Northern Lights brand of snowshoes made in Wausau. I was told that they were a real good snowshoe. And the second part of my question is I want to buy snowshoes for my husband and myself. We do a lot of hunting up in the Schwamigan and back in the swamps and stuff, so mobility is a big issue for me. So I'm just wondering if you have some advice.
Sure. Northern Lights, I kind of forgot about them. We carried them years ago. They're very nice shoes. They're very, very light. That's really their claim to fame. I haven't seen a pair in quite a while, to be honest. I don't know if they changed the binding. I found the binding to be a little bit clumsy. But that's, again, I haven't seen them in a while. They might have improved them. But the shoes themselves are fine. They're very nice. And again, it's a, you know, Wisconsin-made product is never a bad thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, as far as your husband, if you want to call me, I'll talk you through the process. Whether you get him from me or not, I don't really care. I just want to make sure you get the right thing for him.
All right.
Thanks so much. Sure.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. And KC and Port Wing, we're on to you now. Hi, KC.
How you doing?
Good.
Okay, just a little information for people that are going to the Shawamigan National Forest area. Of course, Port Wing is in the northwestern part of Bayfield County. Please use some common sense and some safety factors when you are snowshoeing or walking outside. The timber wolf population is very big up there, and they are not afraid of people. And the coyotes are getting somewhat vigorous, too. So bring a whistle, bring some bear spray or pepper spray, because the timber wolves are not pets up there, and you must use extreme caution when you're in the Shawamigan National Forest. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Cool.
I had a friend of mine was walking out of the woods and felt like somebody was watching him. He turned around and there were a couple of timber wolves about 30 feet back from him. It sort of scared him a little bit. And there were a couple on either side of him, too. So he happened to be hunting. And so he didn't shoot at the wolves, but just shot one up in the air.
Right over him, yeah.
Yeah, scared him off. But
yeah, I've been followed in the air breeding by coyotes. Yeah. You know, it's like you turn around and there's one just kind of watching you, and it's like, oh, okay.
Oh, well, Carol Ann in Cedar Grove, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. I was wondering, I have some wooden snowshoes. They're bear paw, and the lacing on them, the finish has come off of them, and I was wondering what you used to put new finish on them.
So this is the rawhide type, correct?
Yes.
Okay. If the rawhide's still in good shape, you just go ahead and use regular spar varnish. It works great.
Regular what?
Spar varnish.
Okay.
S-P-A-R.
Yep. Yeah, it's from, just find a marina or a marine store and use that. It's very, very good. Just put it on as liberally as you want. You know, lay down a plastic sheet, just paint it on there, and then pick up the drips and paint them on there again. You want a nice thick coat.
Oh, okay.
All right. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, sure. Thank you for calling. Appreciate your call. And Darren, the time flew. Thank you.
It always does.
It always does. Again, people can go to your website at rutabaga.com.
That's correct.
I'm on there a lot. There's lots of good stuff there.
I think so, yeah.
Thanks a lot.
Yep, take care.
Darren will be back. And who knows what we'll be talking about next time. Might be some, lots of great calls today about snowshoes. Line's busy all the way through, and we'll have him back. Probably talk about snowshoes again, but I'm sure we'll talk about canoes, too, because Canoe-copia is coming up in 33 days, I think it is. 93 days, not 33. 93 days. 93 days. And we'll, I'm sure, be talking about that as well. Well, we're going to be talking next, switching gears, and talk with you about some future generation biofuels and something called the Jetrofa Stove Project. And you're probably thinking, what are we going to talk about, a stove project? I'm telling you what, this is a really interesting project that's going on that's going to help a lot of people. And we'll learn about it from our three guests coming up next on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.